If you would, take your Bibles tonight, and let's go to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Before we read this, I want to kind of give you the setting. Jesus Christ has died, was buried for 3 days, and rose from the dead. He has walked on the earth for a 40-day window after his resurrection, appearing to over 500 eyewitnesses, giving instructions to the disciples. And now in Acts chapter 1, here we are on day number 40. Day number 40. He's assembled together with the 11. He's getting ready to give them his final words. Look at verse number 8. He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me." Witnesses unto me. And I want us to think about that for just a moment. He said, the plan is this. I'm going away. You are going to be witnesses unto me. Now, I want you to go to chapter 26 because you know a key event happens in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 9, when Jesus Christ makes a surprise appearance from heaven to a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, who we know as the Apostle Paul. Jesus Christ makes a surprise appearance to Paul, and I want you to notice that when he saves Paul, who Paul said he is the apostle of the Gentiles, he's our spokesman. He's the one that wrote directly to the church, the body of Christ. He's the one that God revealed the idea, the whole idea of a new organism called the body of Christ, the church which is his body. This was all revealed to Paul. And Paul gets saved in Acts 9. Acts 26 is going back looking at that salvation experience. And then in Acts chapter 26, verse 16, notice what Christ told Paul when he got saved. Look at verse 16. He said, "But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a," and that's the word we read back in Acts 1:8. He said, "I'm going to make you a what? A witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." Christ would give him further revelation, as we know. "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." Notice the mission, verse 18. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." God's plan, and you know that being here at Crossroads, that Jesus Christ gave to Paul what Paul called my gospel. He appeared to Paul. He gave him a gospel that was not after man. He didn't receive it from man, but he received it by direct revelation of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Christ made that deposit of truth in Paul, and then Paul made that deposit of truth in others. And he said to Timothy, "The things that you've heard of me among many, many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." You see, there is a plan that God has in reaching this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God's plan is that you and I are to be his witnesses. Now, I want you to notice, though, that God's plan is Christ-centered. You'll notice here that in verse 18, look at the end of verse 18 in Acts 26, 18. Notice he says he's going to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, turn them from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance. But then look at the end of that verse. He says, "Among them which are sanctified by faith that is in," and then what's that last word? "Me." Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "You're going to be witnesses unto me." He told Paul that by faith that is in me. In other words, the message that we are to spread is to be the message of Jesus Christ. Today we have people that may come to your door and they may confuse you a little bit because they'll say, "Well, we are Jehovah's Witnesses." And that was God's covenant name with the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, Jehovah. That was his covenant name with Israel. Now, we are not Israel made over. We are the body of Christ. We are not living under the Old Testament law. We are not looking for an earthly kingdom. Praise the Lord, we've been raised up and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are blood-bought believers. We've been delivered from the bondage of the law, and we have been given a new and a glorious message that Israel did not know or understand in the Old Testament, and it's the message that Jesus saves. I am not emphasizing God's covenant name with Israel, but I'll tell you this, I am consumed and I'm captivated and I am totally obsessed with the one that has been given a name that is above every name. He's been given a name, he's been highly exalted, he's been given a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Hey, if you were to label me something, then you know what you'd probably have to label me? I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, I'm a Jesus Witness, amen? I'm a Jesus Witness. He said, you'll be witnesses unto me. Jesus Christ, Jehovah God the Father, he wants his Son exalted. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. You see, it's Jesus that we need to be magnifying. That's the Father's will. That's his plan. His plan is Christ-centered. The Father's plan is Christ-centered. He wants his Son exalted. And that's God's plan for the ages, is that his Son would be exalted in the heavens and would be exalted on the earth one day. And Jesus said, you'll be witnesses unto me. It's all, listen, folks, listen. Somebody says, well, we're here as Jehovah's Witnesses. No, we're to be Jesus' witnesses. I want you to go to Acts chapter 4 real quick, and let me show you this over and over and over. It's the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, look at it with me. Acts 4 verse 12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. The context there is Jesus Christ. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In Acts chapter 9, flip over there, we have the salvation of Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul. And Paul gets saved here in Acts chapter 9. And I want you to notice what his main business is. As soon as he gets saved, he begins in verse 27. It says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus. Notice Paul immediately after he gets saved, he goes in Damascus, he preaches boldly at Damascus. And what does the last part of that verse say? In the name of Jesus. That's exactly right. That's what it says, doesn't it? His preaching revolved around Jesus Christ. Look at verse 29. It says, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. He spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Go over to Acts chapter 10. We have now Peter going to the Gentile household of Cornelius. And, of course, we did a 10-week Bible study on this great transitional chapter that takes you from God's program of the law to grace and from Peter to Paul. And we did a whole study of Acts chapter 10. And I think we took 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks on this one chapter because it's such a pivotal chapter. But in Acts chapter 10 and verse 43, I want you to notice, it says, to him, Peter said, to Cornelius in this Gentile household, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Go over to Acts chapter 13. Here we have Paul's first recorded sermon. Paul, his first recorded sermon, Acts 13, and look at verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, talking about Jesus, through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. My friend, listen, I am so thankful that you know what? We've had 10, 12 people saved in the last week. And I am so thankful for those that got saved that we didn't have to go to them and with a message of, hey, if you meet a certain standard, if you keep the rules of the church, if you join the church and get baptized and go through all the things we tell you to go through, and if you do it just right, then you'll be saved. Man, I'm so glad that's not the message. I'm glad that the message is that Jesus Christ offers us forgiveness of sins. He offers us a free pardon, and it's by faith alone in Jesus Christ. You don't have to go through me. You don't have to go through this church. You don't have to go through grandma or grandpa. You can go straight to God through Jesus Christ. And that's the message, folks. It's a message of grace, not a message of law. God's master plan for this world is Christ-centered. We've been given a message of hope and peace and assurance. It's the message of Jesus Christ. He said, you'll be witnesses unto me. He told Paul, you're going to be a minister and a witness for me. But number two, not only is God's plan Christ-centered, God's plan is very personal. You know, he told the 11, he said, you're going to be witnesses unto me. You are going to be witnesses. Think about that word. You will be witnesses unto me. You see, God's plan is very, very personal. He told Paul, he said, you're going to be a witness both of the things that you've seen and the things in which I will appear unto thee. A witness is a person who attests to a fact or an event, one that gives evidence. One who has a personal knowledge of something. Do you know how the disciples could speak so boldly about Jesus to everyone they met? It's because they had a personal, firsthand knowledge of Jesus Christ and who he was. How could Paul go into the synagogue, preach to the Jews Jesus Christ? They'd boot him out of town, but he'd go to the next town and do it all over again. You know, how could he do that? It's because he had a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do you have that personal knowledge that Jesus is alive and that Jesus saves and that Jesus changes lives? Man, I hope you have that personal knowledge. I do. I know he's changed my life. I know my life was heading down the wrong path. It was heading down the wrong direction. And I was raised in a home where I didn't have that knowledge of Christ. I had great parents, but I didn't have that knowledge of Christ. I didn't have Christ in me. I didn't know the gospel. And my life was heading down the wrong path. But I am so thankful for the day that Jesus Christ saved my soul. You see, God's master plan is very personal. He said, you're going to be witnesses unto me. Are you a witness of Jesus Christ? Do you have a personal knowledge of Christ? Do you have a relationship with Christ? You know, if you don't, well, then you can't get in on this plan. You're going to miss out on it. But, oh, I hope that you do. I hope, you know, it's not good enough to have a secondhand knowledge. You know what? Your mama and daddy's faith won't work for you, will it? No. Your grandma and grandpa's faith won't work for you. Sometimes I'll ask somebody, are you a Christian? Have you ever put your faith in Christ? And they'll look at me and kind of laugh, and they'll say, ha! My great-great-grandpa was a preacher. And I don't say it, but I'm thinking, who cares? You know, that's what I'm thinking. I asked you, do you know Christ? You know? Of course, I don't say that. That would be arrogant and wrong to say. But I'm just confessing I think that, you know. I'm thinking, that doesn't matter what mama and daddy had. It doesn't matter what grandma, great-great-great-grandpa had. What matters is, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him? And you know what, Brother Wade, there could be teenagers in our church right now. They're hanging on to the coattails of mom and dad, and they don't know Jesus. And you know what, if you don't know Jesus Christ in a personal way, I can't think of a better day to get that settled than today, to know him. But then I want you to notice one other thing, and that's this. That God's plan is not only Christ-centered and it's personal, but God's plan is people-centered. God's plan is that we reach out to the world and show them his great love. Share with them the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting what? Life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the message, folks. You know, it's a message of grace. It's not a message, you know, one of the things that we have to remember is that we live today in the dispensation of grace. And that we are offering to people grace and peace. You know, every one of Paul's epistles to the church, he would start out, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God's doing today. He's offering people grace and peace. And grace means unmerited favor. It means that I get what I don't deserve. You know, I don't deserve eternal life. Nobody's going to look God and Jesus Christ in the eyes one day when they stand before him and say, you know what? I deserve for you to let me into heaven. Nobody deserves eternal life. That's why the Bible says it's the gift of God, church. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There won't be any boasting in heaven. You see, God's plan is for us to reach out to the world with the message of grace. But how's God going to get that message out? I mean, there are a lot of innovative ways that God could have used. God could have chosen to get that message out in numerous ways. But God said, I'm going to use people. He said, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. He told Paul, he said, I'm delivering you to the Gentiles. He said, unto whom now I send thee. I'm sending you, Paul, with the gospel I've given you to go out to the nations. Jesus said, you'll be witnesses unto me. And think about this. Jesus Christ was then gone. And Jesus Christ ascends up to heaven, where he's exalted at the right hand of the Father. We know that. But he went away. And he goes away, and the disciples are kind of left there gazing up, looking up. He's gone. He's gone. And now, if the world is going to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, it's not going to be from the lips of Jesus. Do you understand that? The world is not going to hear the good news of what he did from his own lips. He is at the right hand of the Father. His work today is, he's a mediator, he's an intercessor for us today. But he's not on this earth. He's not on the earth. He's not. We've got a missionary here tonight. We've got somebody gave me the card here. And the Weber family, where are you at? The Weber family? Right back here. Your missionary is to Mongolia, is that correct? And you know what? Jesus Christ isn't going to go to Mongolia with the gospel of himself. He's not going to go to Mongolia. If the good news of Christ will be heard in Mongolia, it's going to be through people like that guy right back there. That's how they're going to hear it. Isn't that what Paul taught? Go to 2 Corinthians 5 and let me show you this, okay? This is exactly what the Apostle Paul taught to the church. 2 Corinthians 5 and look at verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And you know that great verse there, right above that, verse 17? That's one that we're probably familiar with. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you in Christ tonight? Say amen. Are you in Christ? All right, if you're in Christ, what are you? You're a new. What's verse 17 say? If any man be in Christ, if he's in Christ, well, once you're in Christ, Bible says you're a what? You're a new creature. And then it goes on to say, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And that's not talking about your actions. That's talking about your identity. You see, you have a new identity. All the things that were true of you before you were saved are no longer true. And all the things that were not true of you before you were saved now are true of you. You are in Christ. You have a brand new identity at the core of your being. Now look at verse 18. It says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And now here's the good part. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now look at this. He's committed unto us the word of what? Reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then, we are, let's all say it together, what are we? Ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? Well, an ambassador is an authorized representative or messenger. That's us. If we're saved, we're new creatures in Christ, we have a brand new identity, then the Bible teaches that we are His authorized representatives on earth. We are His representatives in Daytona Beach. Christ is gone. Christ ascended. Christ is at the right hand of the Father. We now represent Him in His absence. In fact, if you look up at verse 16, He says, "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more." We don't know Christ in that fleshly way today. He's no longer walking the earth. His earthly ministry to the nation of Israel, that's over. That's done with. He made a sacrifice for sins. He saves Paul. He reveals to Paul all the meaning and what happened on that cross and what it means to the Gentiles and what it means to the world. He sends Paul out, and then Paul says, "Now I'm depositing that to you." And we have to carry that on. Aren't you thankful that somebody shared with you the good news of Jesus Christ? Yeah. Isn't that great? Somebody had to share it with us. See, now we're His ambassadors. And our assignment as ambassadors is to go out and take the good news of His death, burial, and resurrection. And whosoever believeth in Him shall be saved. That's why there's a church at 1851 South Clyde Morris Boulevard. Our purpose and the main reason that we exist is to reach out to lost souls who do not know this Jesus that we know. Jesus did not say, "And ye shall build buildings, and ye shall have dinners, and ye shall form softball teams, and ye shall host carnivals." Now, there's nothing wrong with any of that, okay, in their proper place. But we mustn't lose sight of our goal. This isn't fun and games time. There is a mission. There is a purpose for our existence. The reason God has placed us here is we are to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, and we are to impact this community and the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. We can have the best facilities in town. We can have the greatest choir. We can have the most dynamic services. But if we fail to reach the lost, we have failed miserably as a church. This is serious business. We have a mandate to go into the world and be witnesses. You say, "Pastor Dan, how can our church better reach the lost?" Can I tell you how? This is real simple. Realize that when Christ said, "Ye shall be witnesses," the "ye" is not the pastor. When He said, "Ye shall be my witnesses," the "ye" is not your life group teacher. It's not the missionary. It's not the deacon. It's not your neighbor. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. When He said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me," the "ye" is me and you. You got to look at that and say, "You know what? The "ye" is me." When I say the "ye" is me, I don't mean the "ye" is Pastor Dan. I mean the "ye" is you. You look at it and say, "The "ye" is me." You see, God wants you personally to be Christ's witness. You say, "Oh, I could never talk to anybody about Jesus." You talk about sports. You talk about fishing. You talk about hunting. You talk about cars. Ladies, you talk about the latest shopping deals. You talk about your job. You talk about the weather. So you mean to tell me that if you prayed and you asked God to help you and you asked God to fill you with His Holy Spirit, you mean you couldn't talk to anybody about Jesus Christ? Come on. I don't believe God asks us to do something we can't do. Why did you hear the gospel? Because common, ordinary, everyday people like you told you the good news of Jesus. God's plan is for you to reproduce yourself. Bear fruit. Hey, wouldn't it be great? It's great to be saved, but wouldn't it be great to be able to have a part in taking somebody to heaven with you? And up in heaven, the Bible says, Paul told the Thessalonians who he had led to Christ, he said, you're my joy and you are my crown of rejoicing when I get to heaven. You know what our joy and our crown of rejoicing is in heaven? It's the souls that we've impacted, that we've had a part in seeing bring to Christ. And you know, like we said tonight, I mean, we've had so many people that have trusted Christ the last week, and we've had so many people that joined the church tonight, and that's an awesome, awesome, wonderful, wonderful thing. But I'll tell you this, the key is people talking to people. Jesus Christ isn't going to come down from heaven, leave the right hand of the Father, and come down and talk to your neighbor. Talk to the person on the ball team. Talk to your coworker. No, he said you are the ambassadors of Christ. You are his authorized representatives here on earth. You and me. For good or bad, we're it. We're it. You see, that's God's plan. It's Christ-centered, it's personal, and it's people-centered. And you know, if some of you come to the 9:30 service, and if we say we have 500 people in the 9:30 service, if we have 500 people in the 9:30 service, and 500 people all know Jesus Christ as their Savior, how much of an opportunity is there for somebody to get saved? How many? How much? There's a 0% chance, right? 0%. Now, math isn't my great subject, but I can figure that one out, all right? 0%. But you know what? If you bring someone, and someone else brings someone, and someone else brings someone, and pretty soon we got 20, 25 people in here, neighbors, coworkers, people from school, teenagers that have brought people, Brother Pastor Rob from their high school. And man, bringing your friend, the Hindu friend that came. And Goke is always bringing people from Embry-Riddle, and he's bringing people and someone else. And you know what? Pretty soon we got 25, 30 people in here that don't know Christ. Would you say now there's a better chance for somebody to get saved? Yeah, now there is. See, this is what it's all about. We're his witnesses.